Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed.
God, we love you, we thank you, we honor you for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, that you are greater than anything. We thank you, Lord God, that as this word goes forth this morning, Lord God, that it will fall on good ground and that it will cause transformation in your people's lives. So God, we love you, we thank you, we honor you for this day. Not only just this day of love, not only just this day of Eli's birthday, Lord God, but we thank you for this day of life, Lord God. So we honor you, Lord God, with our life. We honor you, Lord God, with our thoughts. We honor you, Lord God, with our being. In Jesus' name, amen. And the people shouted, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God some praise in this place. Come on, you guys, we can do better than that. Hallelujah. God has given us an opportunity at life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Didn't the praise team do an amazing job this morning? Hallelujah. Sound like they're getting better and better and better and better and better every Sunday. Amen, amen. Well, happy Sunday. Happy Valentine's Day. You may be seated. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. I want to say a special happy Valentine's Day to my baby mama, my only lady, not just my first lady. For my only lady, Lady Pilar, happy Valentine's Day, babe. I love you. I'm thankful for you. And that's from me and L3, even though he's still baking right now. But next year, I'm going to teach him to say it. He's going to be a smart kid. He's going to talk a lot, too. He's going to talk a lot like his dad and his grandfather. He's going to talk a lot. Amen. But how many of you all are just thankful to be back in the house today? I'm thankful to be back. Amen. Thankful for life. You know, thankful for God keeping us this week, keeping us safe, keeping us strong. And as you all know, we are in our series entitled Legacy. Everybody say legacy with me. Legacy. And last week, we just talked about an overview of legacy. But today, we're going to talk about something that I think is very important for us to understand. And we're going to use for a topic this morning, when legacy goes wrong, when legacy goes wrong, because legacy can go wrong. Legacy can also go right, and we're going to talk about that next Sunday. And you all are looking at a product of legacy going right. You all are looking at that. You all are looking at that product. So you all have a living example of when legacy goes right. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, and this is our base scripture for this series, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. And you can stay seated as we read this, and if you don't have it, you can follow along on the screen. And I'm going to read it from the Message version and the Amplified Classic version. I'm going to trade mics out. Okay. There we go. Back on sound. So Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22 says this. It says this in the Message version. A good life gets passed on to the grandchildren. Ill-gotten wealth ends up with good people. That's what it says in the Message version. This is what it says in the Amplified Classic version. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. And so we see here that the scripture is talking about legacy. The scripture is talking about legacy. But we want to talk today, we want to zero in on when legacy goes wrong. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. And we're going to explore this passage today. And we're just going to be in one book today. We're just going to be in one book because this book has so much. It has so much, has so many nuggets in it. And it is good. So Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. Can everybody read that on the screen? Can y'all see that? No? I can see it on my screen, though. I can see it on my screen. And the screen up here. So Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. Everyone there? And this is what it says. It says, "But the Israelites committed a trespass in regard to the devoted things, for Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, and took some of the things devoted for destruction. And the anger of the Lord burned against Israel." So let me give you some context right here. Now, Joshua had just won a battle. Joshua just had some glory that was assigned to him. But they were instructed not to take anything. But Achan, as you see in this passage, took something. And this leads me to my first key point, which is this. The decisions that you make now have a profound effect on not just you, but everyone connected to you. Did you hear me? The decisions that you make now have a profound effect on not just you, but everyone connected to you. So we see here in this passage that Achan took something, but it had an effect on the whole children of Israel because he took something. So let's continue along. Let's go to Joshua chapter 2. And we're just going to continue along down in this. We're going to skip some verses, but we're going to continue along in this. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 2 through 3 says this. It says, "Joshua sent from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, 'Go up and spy out the land.' So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Let not all the men go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole army toll up there, for they of Ai are few.'" So we see first Achan takes something, right? And the anger is against the whole children of Israel based on one person. So Joshua tells the army, "Hey, look, we're going to go to Ai. We're going to defeat them on the way to the promised land. We're going to defeat them," right? And so the scripture says Ai was just a few people, right? And so this leads me to my next key point, which is this. When you make the wrong decisions, what seems easy to you becomes hard for your life and those connected to you. Did you hear me? When you make the wrong decisions, what seems easy to you, it becomes hard for you because you have made the wrong decision. And so let's continue along in the story. Joshua chapter 7, verse 4 through 5, it says this. "So about 3,000 Israelites went up there, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of them, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and slew them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water." See, when you make the wrong decisions in life, your choices can often affect others physically, it can affect others mentally, and it can affect others emotionally because our choices affect others. Our habits affect others. See, we are connected because we are all created in the image and the likeness of God. And so the decision that I make today will affect you not only today, but it will affect you tomorrow. The habits I have today will not only affect me today, but they will affect you tomorrow. Because remember last week, I taught you all that we don't teach people what we know. We teach people who we are. And so when we have the wrong decisions or when we make the wrong decisions, then we teach people who we are. And then they make the wrong decisions. And then who's ever connected to them makes the wrong decisions. And guess what? That's how generational curses happen. But I want you to be the one that says, look, the generational curses happen, but the generational curses have met me, and I'm going to let them stop right here. See, we have to stop generational curses from going on just because this was what I was taught from my parents, or this is what my parents was taught, Well, this is what their parents was taught. We have to move past that, and we have to really have a kingdom mindset and make sure we make the right decisions. We have to make sure we make the right decisions, because the right decisions not only affect you, but they affect me, because we are one. We are a we. And so listen to this. Once we understand our true identity, which is found in Christ, we will have a heart check for our choices and our habits. See, a lot of times the reason why people make the wrong choices and habits is because they have a selfish perspective. And a selfish perspective comes out of insecurity, because a selfish perspective says this: I can only get enough for my four and no more. Or the kingdom tells us to give, but the world tells us to take until you can't take anymore. Have you ever ate so much food that you just were sick? I have, because I was living from a selfish mindset. I was living from a selfish perspective. I had a perception of, if I don't eat this, then who will? And so it's so easy for us to take a selfish mindset, and God wants us to move out of selfishness and to move into selflessness. And so we really have to move from a mindset of, hear me, we have to move from a mindset of, is this just for my good, or is this for the good of the whole? Is this for my good? Is this momentous pleasure, this moment of pleasure, is it just for my good, or is it for the good of the whole? Is this decision that I make right now, is it for my good, or is it for the good of the whole? And so Achan had a mindset of, this is just for my good. I'm going to get this money, and I'm going to bury it under my tent, and nobody's going to know that I have this money. But God knows. God knows the decisions that you make on a daily basis. God knows if you are choosing him or choosing yourself. God knows this. But God wants us to say, look, God, check my heart. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. And so aren't we often like Achan when it comes to the choices we make and the habits we form? We always think like, this is for me. This is going to be for my good. You know, if I do this right here, it's going to be for my good. If I make this choice right here, it's going to be for my good. But I have been hearing this quote that says this, and I'm going to put it on the screen. It says, you are born looking like your parents, but you will die looking like your decisions. You are born looking like your parents, but you will die looking like your decisions. So if you have a life of wrong choices, if you have a life of wrong habits, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to die looking just like those habits that you created. And see, what happens is when we start a habit and we keep the habit going, it's oftentimes hard to break that habit because it has become so inundated within us. It has become who we are. It has become a part of our identity. And so when it's time to break the habit, it's hard for us to break the habit. And so you are born looking like your parents, but you will die looking like your decisions. So let me ask you this. What decisions are you making when it comes to your spiritual life? What decisions are you making? Are you one with God? Do you have that vertical relationship with God? What decisions are you making? What decisions are you making when it comes to your physical life? Because your physical life matters too. Yes, we are spiritual beings having a human incarnation, so your physical life matters as well. What you eat today can have a profound effect on how you live tomorrow. If you exercise today, it'll have a profound effect on how you function tomorrow. So what decisions are you making when it comes to your physical life? What decisions are you making when it comes to your mental life? Are you just sweeping things under the rug? Are you just having this mindset that I'm just gonna be this person because this is just who I am? Or are you asking God to take care of your thoughts? Are you asking God to renew your mind? Are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind? What decisions are you making when it comes to your emotional life? Are you allowing what others say to plant a seed into your heart that will grow up into a root of bitterness that will cause you to hurt people that you come in contact with because you were hurt 20 years ago by what somebody else said? See, that used to be my biggest thing. I used to be so focused on what people said, and I would allow that to become a root of bitterness. And see, that root of bitterness will have a profound effect on not only how I treat myself, but how I treat others as well. And so we have to ask God, we have to take inventory when it comes to our spiritual life, our physical life, our mental life, our emotional life. My next question is, what decisions are you making when it comes to your financial life? Are you spending all the money that you get in one moment and struggling at the end of the month? Or are you asking God to give you the right money principles and to show you how to be a good steward over your money? See, when we continue to make the wrong decisions in these areas of our life, guess what happens? We keep going down the wrong path, and we keep going and we keep going, and we keep wondering why we don't have power. We keep wondering why God hadn't really blessed us with more money. We keep wondering why we keep having these same evil thoughts in our mind. We keep wondering why we keep having these emotional outbursts at people. We keep wondering why isn't my life spiritually where it needs to be? It's because you have not allowed God to really capture your heart. Because when you allow God to capture your heart, then he will say, hey, look, you're doing this. You need to do this instead. You know, and so let's continue along in the story. Joshua chapter 7, and we're going to skip down to verses 10 through 13. And this is what it says. It says, the Lord said to Joshua. Now, let me give you some context. So after the 36 people died, right, Joshua went and prayed to God. So we skipped a few because I didn't want to keep you all in here too long. So we skipped a few. So go back and read verses 6. Read the whole story. We're going to get to the whole story, but read the whole story. I'm giving you kind of like a quick view of it. So Joshua basically went and prostrated himself before God, and he was asking God, he was crying out to God, God, why did these men die? Like, didn't you say we was going to be successful in capturing the promised land? So what did your story change up? Like, I can see Joshua now like, hold on, God, like, you just told me be strong and courageous, but now my people have died? So what's going on here, God? So Joshua went and he went in and prostrated himself to God. So verse 10 says this. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus upon your face? Verse 11, Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. They have taken some of the things devoted for destruction. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own baggage. That is why the Israelites could not stand before their enemies, but fled before them. They are accursed and have become devoted for destruction. I will cease to be with you unless you destroy the accursed, devoted things among you. Up, sanctify, set apart for a holy purpose the people and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, there are cursed things in the midst of you, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away from among you the things devoted to destruction. So this leads me to my next key point, which is this. Until we deal with the wrong decisions and habits that we make, we will continue to get the wrong results. So as long as we continue to make those same habits, same decisions, we will continue to get the wrong results. And most times when we get the wrong results, we look at God like, God, why aren't we getting the right results? Because you're not following the principles of the scripture. See, the scripture is just principle. It's principle for how you live your life. And so if you're not applying the principle, if you're not applying the wisdom, scripture says, let he that lacks wisdom ask of God. See, when you ask of God for that wisdom and God gives you that wisdom, then it will transform your life in every area of your life. And so this leads me to a next quote that I saw Lady Pilar post, one of her friends say. It says this. It says, what we are not changing, we are choosing. What you are not changing, you are choosing. So when you don't change a behavior based on the word of God, you are choosing that life for yourself. You see, a lot of us are choosing the life instead of wanting to change our life, instead of wanting to transform our life by renewing our mind. And so when you repent is just a change of mind. See, a lot of us have not repented for some things because we don't want to change our mind about them. See, it's so easy to make the wrong decisions. It's so easy to say, Lord, let me make this decision here, or let me make this decision here, because it gratifies you and it satisfies you for the moment. But you have to move from a moment mindset to a how is this going to affect me in the future mindset. And so let me ask you this question. Are you choosing destruction for you and your family? Are you choosing destruction for you and your family? Mr. Willie, could you bring this up for me? So you all know I was big on illustrations, right? And I haven't been doing them for a while. Have y'all noticed that? So last night, let me just tell you, last night before I went to sleep, if we put it right here. I asked God, I said, Holy Spirit, I want to start back doing illustrations. And this morning, I had totally forgot about it. So last night, we went to Jackson, and we got some games. And so this was in my truck, and I didn't take them out. I don't know why I didn't take them out. So I was like, Holy Spirit, I really want to do an illustration. And so I forgot about it this morning, honestly. I forgot about the prayer that I asked Holy Spirit for. I really did. And so I go back out to my truck, and Holy Spirit said, look in your back seat. And I'm like, what? Look in my back seat. So I look at my back seat, and we have this game called Jenga, right? And how many of you all are familiar with the game of Jenga, right? Are y'all familiar? Uh-oh. I'm already making the wrong decisions. Okay. I think that's going to be the most we're going to be able to get out for right now. So Jenga is basically you have teams, right, and you pull out, or you – is this a personal game or – I thought it was a team game, no? It's a team game? Okay, you play as a team, okay. So Holy Spirit said, look in the back of your truck. So this was in the back of my truck, so I want to give you a perfect illustration of what happens when you make the wrong decision. So can everybody see this up here? Everybody can see this? I need to move it back in the light. No? Everybody can see it? Okay, I couldn't see Miles. I couldn't see heads because the light's in my eyes. So okay. Thumbs up. There we go. You know, give a wave or something. Give a wave offering or something, right? And so this is what it looks like when we make the wrong decision. See, when we make the easy decisions for our life, you know, it's easy. It's easy to make the easy decisions for our life. It's easy to, you know, I'll make this easy decision for my life. You know, I'm going to do this. But when we start making those tough decisions, we start to really affect our lives in ways that really they shouldn't be affected like that. And so we start saying, okay, well, I made this one up here, so I think I should be able to make this wrong decision down here. So let me make that wrong decision down here. And so let me continue to make these decisions for my life, not based on the word of God, because I got my life. I know what God called me to do, or at least I think I do. So I continue to make these wrong decisions. And so you all can't see it, but it's getting harder for the ones to balance. And so what happens is when we continue to make wrong decisions, our life becomes out of balance. And when your life becomes out of balance, the next wrong decision does not respect the first wrong decision. And that's what happens. We continue to make these decisions and say, okay, well, you know, I was good. God covered me. His grace. I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful that Jesus died on the cross for me. So it gives me a right to continue to make these decisions for my life. And so I keep making even harder decisions, and I keep wondering, okay, well, my life is kind of teetering. So should I continue to make these wrong decisions? Should I continue to go down this path? That's not a good path, and we continue to make the wrong decisions, right? And eventually, guess what happens? Your life falls apart. And then you asking God, God, why has my life fallen apart? God, you said you won't put no more on me than you can bear. God, you said that you would keep me in perfect peace. See, when we make the wrong decisions, that's when we try to start justifying our life with the scripture. Instead of saying, let me weigh my life to the scriptures before I try to justify my life with the scriptures. And so God wants us to move past justifying our life with scriptures after we had a meltdown. Because if you really applied the scriptures before you had a meltdown, then you would not have had a meltdown because you have already given your life fully to Christ. See, God is looking for us for a fully, God don't want us to compartmentalize our life. God, you only get this one part of me, God. You only get this one part of me. And we block off the rest of ourselves. God wants all of you. Scripture says that we should love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. That means with everything that we have. So let's continue along in this story because there's some other key points that I want to pull out to you. So let's jump down to verse 15 through 26, and it's going to get a little wordy, so just follow along on the screen with me. So this is what it says. It says, and he who was taken with the devoted things shall be killed in his body. And this is God talking to Joshua, burned with fire, he and all he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has done a shameful and wicked thing in Israel. Let me start right there. Aren't you glad that the decisions that you make now, just once, see, one wrong decision can transform your life forever. One wrong decision can transform your life forever. It can not only just transform your life forever, but it can transform everybody's life that is connected to you forever. So verse 16 says, So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel near by the tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought near the family of Judah, and the family of the Zerahites was taken. And he brought near the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. He brought near his household, man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua, in truth, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this have I done. When I saw among the spoils an attractive mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them because they are hidden. Behold, rather, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent, with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers who ran to the tent, and behold, the spoil was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them from the tent and brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, son of Zerah, and the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkey, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. This is where the story gets really good. And Joshua said, why have you brought trouble on us? The Lord will trouble you this day. And all Israel stone him and those with him with stones, and afterward burn their bodies with fire. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor, or troubling to this day. And so we see here that everything that was connected to Achan died. Everything. They got stoned. Even the animals got stoned. And so one wrong decision, the wrong decision Achan chose caused death to come on his whole family. And so his whole bloodline was wiped out because of one wrong decision that he made. So listen to this. All it takes is one decision to bring destruction. All it takes is one decision, one wrong decision to make legacy go wrong. So I want to encourage you today to examine your heart, examine your motives, examine your habits, and submit them to Christ. Because when you do that, then your life will transform. See, a lot of times our life cannot transform because we hadn't given our habits, we hadn't given our motives, we hadn't given our heart to God. And so we've given our heart to God in certain places, but we hadn't given our whole heart to God. See, God just don't want the bottom of your heart. God wants your whole heart because God wants to transform your life. He wants you to leave a legacy. He wants you to be the one that says, I'm going to start generational blessings. See, he wants you to be a Lester Bell Sr. and say, hey, look, I'm going to teach my son. I'm going to teach my daughters. I'm going to teach my wife. I'm going to teach everybody that's connected to me how to live a life of integrity, how to live a life of love, how to live a life chasing after the heart of God. Because when you live a life like that, what does the old song say? Your works shall speak for you. Right? And so it's important for us to say, look, let me examine my heart. Let me examine my motives. Are my motives pure? Are my habits pure? Are my decisions pure? Is what God created me to be, is that pure? Am I doing that from a pure heart? Because when you do that from a pure heart, then legacy will go right. Amen? Let's give God some praise. Amen? So don't allow legacy to go wrong. Because God has chosen you for a specific purpose. He's chosen you for a specific reason. And so you're not just here by accident. You're not just here just to come to church, work a job, eat some food, retire, and then go home, and then do a little bit of traveling and wear a mask. No, God created you for greatness. God created you for value. So if you would, stand to your feet this morning. And let's seal this word with prayer. Let's seal this word with prayer. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are. We thank you for this word that has just gone forth. We thank you that it has fallen on good grounds. We thank you that your people, Lord God, are examining their heart, examining their motives, examining, Lord God, their thoughts, and submitting them to you. We thank you, Lord God, for a whole heart, total transformation in your people's lives. So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that this word is once again fallen on good ground. We thank you that this word will go out and cause transformation, not just only in the people's lives within this building, but the people's lives, Lord God, who will hear this message in the days to come, the years to come, the decades to come, and the centuries to come. So, God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. And as we continue along in the service, we pray, Lord God, that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.